All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of O365A. Today's episode, we're going to be talking GDPR. And I'm going to pass it over to Curtis to lead us out.
Thanks, Abid. So, unless you've been living in a cave, you've heard GDPR. It's gotten a lot of talk, and basically it's a set of legislation introduced by the European Union. It's coming into effect May 25th, and it governs the data protection and handling of data for all EU citizens. Specifically high level, it gives EU citizens the right to know who has their data, what's being done with it, and the right to have it deleted. The important thing is it applies to all companies dealing with any personally identifiable data, including companies that employ, contract, or just do business with any European citizen. So why care? I've run across a number of small to medium businesses that see GDPR as a European Union only thing, and they don't really seem too concerned about it. And depending on what type of business you do and what type of data you operate with, you might not need to be concerned about it. But it is important to note that even if you're a foreign-owned company or do business outside of the EU, again, if you deal with any EU personally identifiable data, you are going to be subject to this legislation, and that's why it's gotten so much press. And if you fall in that bucket of you need to care, you definitely do want to care, because the penalties can be quite onerous. I believe I read the penalties, if you're fined, can be 4% of your worldwide revenue for the last fiscal year, or $20 million, whichever is higher. So this is something you definitely want to take a look at. The data in scope, again, is any personally identifiable data that belongs to a citizen of the European Union. And the stuff I read, it was originally designed more for consumer type data, but it applies to any type of business with this type of data. So let's bring it back to Office 365. From an Office 365 perspective, you'll care if you use Office 365, all the workloads like Exchange Online, Teams, SharePoint Online, which can hold this type of data that could be not in compliance with GDPR. So with that in mind, you'll want to care, you'll want to take a look. And Habib, what should a company do if they're interested in finding out whether whether they comply or don't comply with GDPR?
Yeah, so I mean, given that the date that this is going to go live, I believe is May 25th, so it's pretty fast approaching for companies that need to start looking in, analyzing sort of what they have currently from a personal data perspective, from a user, right? So, Microsoft recommends, like, they have what they call, like, is a four-stage approach, going through the whole GDPR process, right? So the first one is the discovery process, identifying, what the personal data that you actually have, within your tenant or on the user's PCs, and where it resides. And then, secondly, there's managing, how to govern all that personal data, how it's being accessed, being able to protect it, as another one, establish security policies and protocols to detect and continually, look at data breaches if there's anything within that. And then the last thing is reporting, right? Always continually getting the reports and viewing the reports, on a weekly basis, obviously, maybe even daily when you're first getting started, to make sure that you don't fall within any of the particular data breaches. So, Microsoft has the four-step approach, which, sort of guides you through the process. Another really good documentation that gives a little bit more detail, which is provided by the Information Commissioner's Office, gives you a 12-step process on sort of what you need to do in order to, you know, be compliant within the GDPR. So I know, well, from a Microsoft perspective, they have, you know, the significant amount of tools and a portal to be able to help with your GDPR journey. And I'm going to pass it over to Dino to talk about that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of tools you'll want to get familiar with when you're going down this path. And namely, they're the securestore.office.com, which deals with the security side of things. And then more on the GDPR compliance assessment itself, there's assessment.microsoft.com. And I'm going to go through both just from a very high level. So SecureStore analyzes your Office 365 or your tenant, the security based on your regular activities and security settings, and gives you a score. So think of it like a credit score for your security. So we've all gone through that process, I think, once or twice. So it sets up a nice little dashboard and it gives you a score based on what you're using. So SecureStore figures out what services you're using, like OneDrive or SharePoint and Exchange, for example. And then it looks at the settings and activities and compares them to a baseline that Microsoft's established in terms of good practice security settings. So then after all that, you'll get a score based on how aligned you are with that baseline. And, you know, so obviously the things that are measured will increase with the amount of workloads you're running in 365. So the more features and functionality you're using in terms of the workloads, the bigger the score will be in terms of the number of things it's looking at. So if you want to improve your score, you're going to review the action queue to see what you can do to help increase security and reduce risks. And what I like about the secure score is it's got like a slider that you can once you get your score and it gives you an assessment, you can kind of just move it along from left to right, and it tells you, you know, what your current score is. And as you move it to the right, it increases the number of things you have to do, and it puts actions in your queue. So, you know, to get the max, the further you slide the bar to the right to get to your max score, the more actions, obviously, that you're going to have to do. So why that's nice is that, you know, as an organization, you can't often implement all this stuff in overnight. So you can kind of, you know, set targets and say, okay, well, to start off in the next month, I've got 9 actions that I want to get to. And then when you complete those, you can kind of move the bar along. But of course, at any time, you can just slide along to get to your max score and know exactly what you have to do in terms of plugging all those security risks. So on that note, the SecureStore score doesn't, it's not an express or an absolute measure of how likely you are to get breached, but rather it expresses the intent or to the extent you've adopted all the recommended controls, which can help you prevent these kinds of attacks or security breaches. So so go ahead and visit securescore.office.com to get started. Again, the portal's really nicely laid out, gives you that dashboard, and I think it's really well worthwhile to go take a look at that. So a couple of items, like, for example, you know, a popular one is, you know, enable MFA for global admins. So if you're accessing your tenant and you're not doing it through multi-factor authentication, it's going to warn you and say, you know, your admins don't have MFA, you should turn that on. And once you go and do that, it detects that and it'll increase your score by, you know, 5 points or 10 points or whatever the security level is for that. You know, another one is reviewing the mailbox forwarding rules. So if you've got users in your tenant that are forwarding mail to another address, like a Hotmail or Gmail account, you're going to get warned for that. And once you go and review those settings again, the score will move up. So a bunch of stuff like that, you know, that you can go and look at. So great. So you've handled the security side of the equation. So in terms of the compliance side, Microsoft has the second tool that's at assessment.microsoft.com. And this one takes you through three assessments, which are protecting personal data, compliance risk and streamlining the compliance process. And so in this case, you're taken through a series of questions, which results in a score for each of the three categories. And there's links to further information given at the end of each assessment to guide you to remediating any of those deficiencies. And again, the notion here is to take each assessment to identify the risks and take the required remediation steps. And then it's a repeatable process. You keep reassessing along the way until you're at 100% of all the capabilities within the GDPR compliance model.
And I just wanted to ask Dino, I think that tool at assessment.microsoft.com, I think you have to go /GPR-compliance to get the GPR
piece of it. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So again, it's assessment.microsoft.com/GDPR-compliance. So.
Right. And that's the free, it's sort of like a survey. You take questions about your business.
That's right. So yeah, so both are free tools. You've got to enter a bit of information to start off, your first, last name and email address, company, country. And obviously then you can start it off. And perhaps what we'll do is at the end of this, we'll post to the site the two free tools so that you can easily access them.
Sounds good. Sorry, Michael, I interrupted you there.
No problem. It's kind of amusing that you have to enter in private information to do the private test. But, you know, so I guess this iterates that, you know, Microsoft's cloud is pretty massive with customers in nearly every country in the world. So you look at their current compliance offerings, and there's, I think, over 70 items from Canadian privacy laws to HIPAA to SOX to UK G-Cloud and now GDPR. And I think as we see Microsoft's cloud evolve to, you know, meet all these different laws and compliance offerings, you kind of get the benefit of additional tools. And depending on your licensing, there's some specific service-related tools that we kind of benefit from all this. And in Office 365, you now have the ability to get access to GDPR templates for information protection. So now you can get the ability to identify sensitive data or sensitive data types that are around that GDPR assessment. In the data loss prevention, so DLP, you're able to monitor sensitive data with, like, I think over 80 different common sensitive data types like financial, medical, personal identified information, which is specifically for GDPR. You have the advanced data governance, which uses intelligence and machine assistance to help identify and find or help you build policies around that lifecycle of data. There's e-discovery and advanced e-discovery for searching those specific data around across workloads like SharePoint, OneDrive, Skype for Business, Exchange. You have customer lockbox, where now you can explicitly allow or authorize access to your customer, your personal or your corporate data to Microsoft during service operations. You have advanced threat protection, so around Exchange Online, protecting against malware and real-time attacks. You have threat intelligence. You have advanced security management and then audit logs so that you can track administrators, what activities they're doing across workloads. And then on the Azure side, I think Dino was mentioning you have multi-factor for Azure AD. You have Azure AD privilege identity management. You have Azure information protection, which is, you know, similar to the Office 365 side. So you can classify, label, and protect data. It also has logging and reporting, so you can control that or monitor that data distribution. There's also the Azure Security Center. Azure Storage has, you know, data encryption, so at rest and in transit. There's also Azure Key Vault and log analytics.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's just the ones that, you know, come to mind specifically around GDPR. But you can see as Microsoft's building these tools to meet certain laws and requirements, you know, even though we're not in the EU, we get to, you know, access this as well. I mean, I was logging into my TechNet account, and now I have a privacy tab where I can download all my data that I've ever posted on any of the forums. I can, you know, delete my account and terminate all that data. So I think as this evolves, I think a lot of, on a personal side, I get to benefit from that as well, even though I don't fall under the EU law.
Yeah, and I think as well, most people have been noticing the, you know, companies that you've signed up with.
Yeah, getting a lot of emails about updating the terms and conditions and privacy regulation stuff, for sure.
Yeah, from Twitter to Gmail, any cloud's offering. You know, this is a serious thing with GDPR, and you can see it's kind of like when SOX came into play, right? So you have all these organizations that, you know, see what these fines could be up to, you know, what, 4% of your global revenue or whatever tire, 25 million. And so, you know, they're not taking this lightly, but it's still, these organizations are trying to interpret the law, and the law is not really in effect. So, you know, maybe there'll be a course correction or a couple fines. It'll be interesting to see how it kind of homes in after a couple of iterations.
Yeah, that two good points, Michael. I mean, number one, I'm really impressed actually with the not just the number of tools, but the quality of tools that Microsoft is making available to make sure you're compliant. And you mentioned SOX or HIPAA. When everything was on-prem, trying to do that, it was all up. The onus was all on the enterprise, on the company to bring in tools, do assessments. If you go to the compliance manager in Office 365, which I believe it's free, you get a whole GDPR compliance score, and it's all, you know, Microsoft has done all the legwork to do a bulk of the assessment. So that's really, really useful. The second point you made, Michael, is really interesting. There's a lot of people really not sure to what extent GDPR is going to be legislated, and, you know, specifically for foreign companies operating outside the EU, how heavily they're going to try to fine those companies if they're breached. They are saying they will. But to your point, I think we'll have to wait to see a few fines and a few companies get caught in the fishnet to really understand how much they're going to hold companies to the letter of the law.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the Whois database, right? So the domain registrars, like that database needs a complete overhaul to even come close to this GDPR requirements. And they've asked for extensions, and the EU is like, yeah, no. So it'll be interesting. They might be the first ones hit with it, right? Because that's any person that's ever registered a domain. I mean, unless they paid that additional cost to protect their data, that data is pullable from a text-based database. So it's gonna be interesting.
All right. So I think we covered a pretty big topic in a sort of a short amount of time. So I guess we provided the highlights for everyone. So hopefully, companies will start going through, or have already been going through the process to be compliant with GDPR should they be required to do so. And I guess hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
See you later.